And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast. Well, the season's coming to a close soon.
I think, man.
As of today, we have 5 games left.
April really is just the best time for sports. We got NBA playoffs coming. We got
basketball galore.
Hockey's playoffs about to start soon. We got March Madness finishing up. Oh, dude, it's time.
No, I honestly, I was feeling like the January, February blues. Like, there's not much going on.
Yeah.
Just finished up football. Now we're waiting for March Madness. Now we're in the thick of it.
That's right.
Lots of good stuff going on. It's going to get us to our
finals, I think.
And I'll be honest, this Jazz season has kind of dragged on a little bit. There's been a lot of tough games. Yeah. And we'll talk about the current week the Jazz had. But we've got a lot of good things in this episode. We're going to kind of break down the last couple games and predict almost the rest of the season with the games upcoming. We'll award our player of the week, give you an update on the Jazz Tankathon, talk about that. A Jazz player just broke another record. We'll talk about that. And then we'll give you our NBA update as well as March Madness update. And then we'll get into some local sports.
Yeah, don't forget to check us out on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you're listening. Don't forget to leave us 5 stars, leave us a rating wherever you can. We also love to know in the comments what you think of the episode and share it with a friend, because we'd love to expand our audience here. And this is episode 69 of Tuned In Jazz. All right.
Well, mission accomplished this week, I would say.
Right.
We extend the losing streak to more games. I think that puts us up to 7 games in a row.
Yes, sir.
Losing.
1-9 in our last 10. Gotta love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta love it.
If you combine before we beat the Wizards, we were on a 10-game losing streak. If we did lose to the Wizards right now, we would be on an 18-game losing streak.
Yep.
Isn't that insane?
That's wild, dude. Yeah, we've pretty much locked up that top 3 tankathon.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we'll talk about that later, but we've pretty much locked up our spot, which is good, and guys are doing exactly what they should right now, so it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but I guess we could take it first to game against Charlotte.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, this game was in Charlotte as well.
So, yep.
I'll be honest, if I'm looking at the starting line, if you're not like really locked into basketball and you look at the starting lineups of this game, you probably don't know most of the players.
No.
Be honest.
No.
If you're locked in Jazz fan, you'll know these guys. But I don't know if you ever heard on Charlotte, KJ Simpson played 32 minutes. Josh Green, Seth Curry, Miles Bridges, and Mark Williams. Those are the guys maybe you know. But yeah, there's not a lot of big names in this game, let's be honest.
No, I saw, I was driving somewhere and I was listening to the radio broadcast of this game. And I heard David Locke say something about Mark Williams, who, if you don't remember, was traded to the Lakers.
Yeah, untraded.
But then failed his physical. And anyways, David Locke was like, I can see why he failed his physical. His legs look terrible.
Oh,
and I was
no.
like, oh, crap. That's a pretty crazy thing to say, but it's probably true. Anyways, but it's kind
of... Yeah, I'm sure the Hornets and him are kind of like having a weird relationship where it's like, we didn't want you, but you're still here.
Stay here, yeah.
At least he's getting paid his money, right?
Yeah, it's weird.
And then for the Jazz, I guess, is this the game maybe, or I think it was earlier, maybe of Isaiah Collier breaking that record?
I think so,
It was this game?
I think so.
He had a pretty good night with 17 points, 7 assists, 3 steals, and a block.
Yeah.
Shout out to Isaiah. He played a lot of minutes these last 2 games, and I'm assuming to close out the season, he'll probably start most every game.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about him so much, but man, in such a bad season, what a blessing him and I would argue Kyle Filipowski, who also had 14-13 this game. Just these guys, like, you're like, okay, even though we didn't get the pick we wanted, Cody Williams is kind of not working out, in my opinion. But we're still happy with how things are going. So
yeah, totally. And I also looked at like the injury report for this game. Total tankinitis going on. Walker Kessler's was like conditioning, and then I think Colin Sexton had a bruised hip or bruised bone or something.
Yeah,
which is fair. Like, we know what's going on, but they're not at home. I'm sure the Charlotte fans are okay with not seeing everybody on the Jazz. Yeah. But also our boy Oscar Tshiebwe, he actually got into this game. I don't know if you've seen this, just a small side note. Dude, Oscar Tshiebwe is low-key like the MVP of the G League.
Yeah, I saw their shirts they were wearing. Did you see those?
No.
The Stars all had, in their warm-ups, they all had Oscar Tshiebwe for MVP shirts. Oh, let's go. Funny.
Dude, he's been amazing.
Campaign's been good. I think their playoffs start too, so it's pretty awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty
cool. That'll be dope. And I also saw the guy, I'm losing his name, the guy that we just barely signed on the G League, Elijah Harkless.
Oh, yeah.
He won the G League Most Improved Player.
Okay.
Which is the first time any star player has won it.
Let's go. That's hype.
Another side note, but some good things happening with the Jazz G League and guys coming up.
Yeah, it looks like, I just looked it up. Just following that side note a little. The Salt Lake Stars won their first playoff game and then lost their second. It looks like it's single elimination. So, anyways, but kind of a cool season. See some of those guys going over there.
Oh, yeah. And then I guess we could take it to the Houston game. There's some interesting stuff in this one. We gave up 143 points. That might be I think that's now the highest total points given up this season.
Yeah.
Pretty insane.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Again, with Isaiah Collier, not to beat a dead horse here, but 22-10-5. Honestly, when I look at that stat line, I'm just like, that's my vision for what Isaiah Collier could, like, just like that could be his, like, stat line, in my opinion. I don't think he's going to be like a 35 a game score or ever.
Oh, no.
But if we could get him to 22-10 with, you know, a couple rebounds a game, that's like a solid.
I'm even happy with like 18-10.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
He doesn't even need to be our leading scorer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that puts him in all-star conversations. So anyways, that's just a really good game. I also thought Walker Kessler played really well. 11 points, 12 rebounds, just double-double machine this year. So
dude, double-double machine is right.
Right.
Yeah, honestly, overall, not a bad game. I think we watched the highlight. Our boy Colin Sexton did not have a good game. He got kicked in the groin by Dylan Brooks in this one. Looked like it hurt a lot.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
I feel like Dylan Brooks is always kind of on the other side of those things, him and Draymond, right? So I guess we couldn't avoid that.
Just another side note. Did you see the Isaiah Stewart fight?
No.
So Isaiah, you remember Isaiah Stewart with the whole like LeBron going after LeBron? Well, apparently I think it was against the Wolves this week. There was like a scuffle and Isaiah Stewart had Dante DiVincenzo like in the stands, like he was like punching him and like it was pretty crazy. He got suspended 2 games and
that's crazy. Only two games?
I know. I was like,
wait, what?
That almost seems like a Ron Artest level Malice in the Palace type deal, but yeah, there was like a kid that was like kind of standing there and the team gave him like a jersey signed and because they felt bad. Anyways, it's just there's a lot of like characters in the NBA right now. We got our Draymonds and Dylan Brooks and Isaiah Stewart's is pretty crazy. So and John Morant's, of course.
Yeah. And also looking at the Rockets, they're surging right now.
Yeah.
I know like episode or two ago we were talking about them and like three other teams trying for that 2 seed.
Yeah.
But if you look at the standings now, the Rockets are 3 games ahead of Denver, LA, and everybody else.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they kind of, as long as they win a couple games, they have that 2 seed locked up.
Yeah.
Which means they'll probably play like the Clippers or Minnesota.
Yeah.
In the first round. Still going to be a hard matchup, but. Wow. Yeah, man, they've been looking good.
It'll be interesting too, because that three through seven. I mean, I guess we'll talk about next week. We'll have a better idea of seeding in the playoffs. But Denver is 17.5 games back. But Minnesota, who's seventh, is 19.5. So the gap between 3 and 7, like all those teams in between, is kind of. We could see a lot of movement.
Yeah, like if you see a 6 beat a 3, it's not really an upset.
No.
In the West.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, but overall, not a bad week from the Jazz. Like we said, mission accomplished. We
That's
got
right.
the losses that we needed, and then I guess we just have 5 games left in the season now.
Yeah, and if you're feeling bad, my challenge to you, watch the games on Saturday because Cooper Flagg is special, bro.
Yep, future Jazz
something.
Man right there.
You'll feel a little better, I promise. But that takes us to our player of the week. This is a tough one to pick. It's getting a little, I think you probably felt that last week, but the guy I picked, surprisingly looking back, we have not really picked him that often as our player of the week, but I think it's a given this week, Isaiah Collier.
Let's go. I was hoping you'd say him.
He set a rookie record. Overall, just consistency. For a rookie, this is just, it's just pretty incredible. I just think he deserves all the flowers. I think he's our starting point guard moving to the future. With the Jazz, when I look at the draft, I'm really hoping we don't end up with the second pick because I think Dylan Harper might be better, but I also just love Isaiah Collier or something. Like, anyways, I think he deserves it this week.
I love that. And I think he totally does because he had put up great stats this week.
Yeah.
He's been just the calming presence on the court with the Jazz, kind of finding guys when they're open. And I could definitely be right there with you saying he's probably our point guard of the future.
Absolutely. Well, we have four games coming up this week.
Mm-hmm.
Two on the road, two at home. Last four, one more after this week, but pretty much
almost
final
to the
stretch
end
of the season. Yep. But on Friday, we go and play the Pacers, who are currently fourth in the East. They're kind of fighting for playoff seeding as well. What do you feel like is going to happen this game?
Oof. It's hard to say. Some of these games are hard to predict because, like, even if you are high in the standings, like, sometimes, like, the Pacers have three games behind the Knicks, three games ahead of the Bucks. Like, they don't really need to win.
That's true.
For sure.
That's true.
Same with some of the later games in the season. I'm going to say the Pacers take care of business. They'll win by 20.
Ooh, okay. Big win. Yeah, I agree. I think it is kind of that time of season where playoff teams start, you know, resting teams to get ready for those playoff series. So we might not see a team at full strength, but the Jazz are not even close to full strength either. So I'm going to say Pacers win by 12. I think it's going to be a big win. Probably not as big as you, but I think that'd be big.
That's fair. And then we finish our road trip against the Atlanta Hawks, who have also been doing pretty well. I don't know if you've seen, they used to be like down in the tankathon, but now they're like the eighth seed in the East, which isn't great, but it's a lot better than where they were earlier in the season. Yeah. They're kind of fighting for playoff seeding a little bit.
Yeah.
One game behind the Magic. But who do you have for that game?
I'm going to say this is going to be our win of the week. Why not?
Okay.
I'm going to say Jazz win by 3. Maybe we know a little bit about their coach and maybe we'll play well against them. So
it's true. At least some guys do.
Yeah. Jordan Clarkson will know the game plan and he'll pop off. It'll be his breakout game again. So what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I'm going to say this is going to be another game where most of the guys in our starting lineup aren't starters.
Yeah.
And I think the Hawks still have a reason to win. So I'm going to say the Hawks win by 12.
Yeah.
So
could agree with that. Okay. And then we come back home and we play the Blazers, who are not so hot, probably not in the playoff hunt so much. They're 30. Well, I guess they're 34 wins.
But they could make that 10th seed, low key.
Yeah, I guess the gap's not as not as big as I thought. They're 2.5 games back, so it would take quite a little bit of a swing. But what are you feeling about this game?
This one was so hard, these last two games to predict, but I'm going to say Blazers win by 7.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Lost by 8 is what I said.
Lost by 8.
Your Jazz lose by 8, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Blazers, they've been like low-key good this year.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I think they're still like at least trying to win. They're kind of in purgatory right now with where their seeding is. But I mean, they're a pretty good team. I think they're going to try to win.
Yeah.
Not much else to say about it, honestly.
Yeah, it seems like they're getting some development from some of their guys. So that's a good thing. Seems like so.
Some of these final games, you just know the players are ready for the playoffs.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
But then our last game to predict.
Gosh.
Our one seed in the West. We're playing the OKC Thunder as our final home game in the Delta Center.
Oh, man. Yeah. I just think it's a big loss. I said lost by 15. Thunder.
Okay.
I think I predicted Thunder winning it all this year, or maybe I just had them in the championship. I can't remember.
I think we both did.
But they're just so good. And unless this is like a they rest everybody game, which I doubt it, I think they're gonna beat us pretty cleanly. So what do you
feel
like?
Fair. I'm going to say the Thunder have the number one seed locked up completely.
Mm-hmm.
They might not try to win this game.
That's fair.
So that being said, I still think they're going to win, but it's going to be a lot closer of a game than we think.
Ooh,
I'm
going to
say the Jazz lose by 4. And I'm also saying if our tank position is locked up at this point, we could go for a win with the last home game. So I'm kind of hoping it's a closer game than we expect. Thunder win by 4.
Yeah, that is true. Yes, and our tankathon is locked up, as we mentioned earlier. Still, Utah, Washington, Charlotte, it seems like that's going to be the two that we're battling with. New Orleans is 4th. They're 2 games back from Charlotte. Feels like at this point in the season, that's pretty safe. Philly, though, they've lost 10 in a row. Holy cow.
Crazy.
They're 5th right now.
They have all their good players injured, I think, yeah. But it is what it is for them.
Yeah, if you're Philadelphia, Joel Embiid just had a big injury. Would you think they would ever consider moving on from Joel Embiid and building around Maxey? Or?
Oh man, it would be a heartbreaker as a Sixers fan. Yeah, I don't know how they feel about it.
It would.
I think you give him at least one more year, but then you might have to think about that.
Yeah, I agree. That's tough.
But then again, how many times are you gonna say one more year?
Yeah. So, even when he was like quote unquote healthy, it's like you still haven't made it out of the second round, and you're like,
yeah,
this guy's like a generational talent.
The Paul George signing also makes me feel like that's the direction they're trying to go in.
Yeah.
Not saying it's gonna work out for them or anything, but it definitely seems like they're beginning of the season. They were trying to win a championship, but who knows what they're doing now?
Yeah, it seems like the Paul George thing might not be working out too great either. Like.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder if they get the 5th pick. I mean, this is a pretty deep draft. They could end up with a nice piece. Makes you wonder if they may like maybe made a trade, get rid of Paul George this summer, because they're going to have to trade him if they want to get rid of him.
But that contract's hefty.
It is.
I don't know what teams are interested in that.
It'd be a tough one to get rid of. But anyways.
And then I guess our Minnesota pick, they just keep winning too.
Yeah.
They're now at the 20th spot, 21st spot if we get Minnesota's pick.
Yeah.
Low key, the Timberwolves have been hot. They might be like a top 5 seed in the West when it's all said and done. We'll see where they end up landing, but
yeah.
Not great for us, but at least we still get another first round pick.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that also makes history. I don't know if you noticed, but after the loss against the Rockets, Jazz have 60 losses now.
Yep.
Which if I'm not mistaken, is the greatest or the most losses we've ever had in a season.
It is.
Breaking records out here for multiple things. But what's your thoughts on that? Like, is that crazy to you? Maybe that just shows how good the Jazz have been over the past couple decades.
It's wild. We really have been privileged as Jazz fans. Like I was just looking back to see like what was our next closest season. And it's just crazy, like over the last 20, 30 years, we've just had like a bunch of 50-plus win seasons, even a lot in the upper 40s, a couple 60-win seasons in the 90s. It's just crazy. We're really privileged.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like our next closest was our very first season, where the Jazz went 23-59.
Hey.
But that was in 1974 when we were in New Orleans. And then our first year in Utah, we were also 24-58. So that's like... We're talking, what is that, 45 years?
Yeah, and I mean, that's when the franchise was so bad they had to move cities.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. So.
Hopefully we're not bordering into that territory.
Know,
Let's keep the Jazz here. I think Ryan Smith is committed to keeping them around.
I feel pretty safe with this ownership group, honestly. Yeah, but I don't know if you saw, they had the McDonald's All-Star game. McDonald's All-American high school game. We saw... AJ DeBonta, Darren Peterson.
AJ was in the dunk contest.
Yeah, the Boozers. Looking at like that group coming in, or even other college guys that might be a year out. You think we need a tank next year too? Like, what are you feeling about how long this is gonna last?
Well, man, last year we got Cody Williams with our 10th pick, yeah. And that was not worth it.
Really bad.
Like, we had to go through all that tanking just for that. Like, that sucked. But this, for me, it depends on who we get this year.
Yeah.
If we do end up getting Cooper Flagg, I'm out. Let's try and win.
That's what I say.
You know, if we end up getting somebody questionable like Cody Williams again,
mm-hmm.
I think we got to go in for another tank, right? Yeah. But really, next season, we're not going to know what we have from this draft until we kind of start playing. And so I think my strategy would be, let's try and get the best talent we can with the pick we get in the lottery.
Yeah.
And let's give him 20 games to see what he's made of. And if it doesn't feel like a contending year, I think we probably need to tank next year.
Yeah.
What's your thought?
Yeah, I agree too. I think the problem with the last 2 years before this is that we were still too good. And I still think we're still too good. We're just trying a little harder this year to suppress some of that. Lowry's an borderline all-star. I think Kessler's turned into a borderline all-star.
Dude, Collins low-key.
John Collins is a great piece. I just think we have two great point guards in Keontae and Isaiah Collier. I think if you plug Cooper Flagg into that and you allow all those guys to actually play, actually compete, I think you could fight for a play-in spot. I think we could already do that if we had been trying a little more this year.
Yeah. I mean, look at the Blazers. They're fighting for it.
Yeah.
Their team's not amazing.
Yeah. So, and also there's no guarantee for the next year. I'm really not a fan of the Hendricks pick either. I think that one could still turn out good, but I just didn't think it was like a hit. So.
Right.
And then the leg injury obviously doesn't help.
But hopefully next year we can really see what we've gotten in Hendricks.
Absolutely.
I'll also say it might be time to just have a winning year just to reward the fans.
Absolutely.
I understand there's some good guys in the draft next year, but you just got to determine as like your ownership, is it worth tanking another year for those guys?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't only look at AJ, because of course AJ, any team would love to have him.
Yeah.
But is there like enough players in that like top 5-6 that you're like, we need a top 5-6 pick?
Yeah.
That's what I'd have to look at too.
Yeah. It makes you wonder too though, because the decision makers here in Utah obviously would have a reason to want AJ to do well. You know, chances are some of their money investment is the reason AJ, I know they say that it's not, but I don't know if I completely believe it. Ryan Smith, Danny Ainge, obviously they have an invested interest in BYU and they'll probably be watching him a lot this year. So it makes you wonder if they feel the same way after they watch him this year, if they'll have a different opinion.
Yeah, but I think like the odds for number one are so small. You can't plan for number one.
No, that's true.
First of all, the Jazz have never got the number one pick.
Never.
And two, like, if the 2 through 5 is weak, like, that's hard, you know?
It's true.
May as well try and win if we know we're going to get 2 through 5. But it's hard to say. I think you do see the Boozer twins. You do see
Darren Peterson's good.
Peterson, I haven't heard of him, but you're probably more locked in than me. But you do see a couple other guys down the list that might be worth it.
Yeah.
But I think you just got to sit down. And you got to say, is it worth it for those other guys? And then who did we get in our in our last draft? And are they legit?
That's so true. I also think it's the fit wouldn't, like, if we did get Cooper Flagg, say like best case scenario, Jazz get number one pick 2 years in a row. Does it make sense to have both Cooper Flagg and AJ and keep Lowry? I just think you're getting kind of crowded at that like tall wing position.
Yeah.
So somebody's going to have to go.
But I mean, if you get those guys, you can get a great trade package.
That's true.
You could get some really good guys in trade.
That is true.
to fill out the lineup.
Yeah. That's so
true. We'll see what ends up happening.
Yeah.
But also, we got to talk about some NBA news.
Yes.
I think the biggest talking point at these last couple games is who's going to win the MVP award. It's a two-man race. Unless we disagree. In my opinion, it's a two-man race.
Yeah, I could agree with you.
Between our boy Shea and our boy Jokic.
Yep.
We could talk for a long time about this, but maybe we'll do the condensed version right now.
Yeah.
Who do you think should win MVP?
Well, In my opinion, it's got to be Jokic. Who do I think's going to win it is SGA, because it's all about narratives. And I think that the voter fatigue, and also we always want something new in MVP. So I think it'll be SGA, but Jokic is averaging almost 30-12 or 30-13-10 right now. And he had a 60-point triple-double two nights ago. Shea's got 32-5-6, which is good, but I don't know. That's not really comparable. So I don't know. What are you feeling?
I'm also feeling Jokic, but I think Shea's gonna win it. Kind of same deal.
Yeah.
If you look at the stats, Jokic has got better stats.
Yeah.
If you look at like how much they contribute to their team, like Jokic is carrying his team on his back. You could argue the Thunder would still be a solid team without Shea, but the Nuggets without Jokic would be bottom of the league.
Yeah, they'd probably be number one pick this year.
They would be right with the Jazz at the bottom. Yep. So, I mean, if it comes to stats, it comes to value to team, Jokic has got those taken away. That's why he's won so many MVPs.
Absolutely.
But that being said, Shea's got the narrative behind him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the voter fatigue on his side with people not wanting to vote for Jokic a third year in a row.
Yeah.
And he's also got a better team overall.
It's true.
So I think maybe the argument could be, would you rather have a guy that elevates his team to one of the greatest teams ever?
That's
true. Or a guy that elevates his team from worst in the league to contender?
Yeah.
Right? Because I think
that's true.
You could argue Jokic does more for his team, mm-hmm. but Shea has taken his team to a much higher level than Jokic has been able to do. And then I also think defensively, I do think you have to shout out Shea for his defense this year too. As much as he scores 30 a game, he also gets at least a steal and a block a game, it seems like. And Jokic's defense is good, but not amazing. Mm-hmm. So I think you could also give some defense a shout out.
Yeah, that's true.
But that being said, I agree. I think Jokic deserves the MVP. There's no doubt in my mind that he's the most valuable to his team.
Absolutely.
In what the value added from him being there. But I think Shea's going to win it just because Jokic won it past 2 years. His team's better.
Yeah.
That's probably what we'll see.
Absolutely.
So it seems like we're kind of on the same page. I don't know.
It's funny, just a little thing here. I'm checking Basketball Reference for stats. And for Jokic, it has some interesting nicknames on here that I've never heard. It has, of course, Joker, Big Honey, Cookie Monster, Yoke, Big Tipper. I've never heard any of those.
Dude, but the Basketball Reference nicknames are goated. Yeah.
For Shea, it just has SGA, which is the only one I've heard anyways. But
yeah, Big Honey, big MVP this year.
I do actually feel like it would be really fun to be a Thunder fan right now, not just because they're winning, but like they just seem like a fun group. Like, I don't, have you seen the interviews thing where they like dress up the reporter?
No.
It's so funny. You should watch it. I'll send you a clip. But they have this reporter that's always like interviewing Shea like after the game on the court. And then the team will come up and they'll like start putting like things on the reporter.
Oh, yeah. I might have seen
that. It's like gold chains and they got like jackets and hats. And it's so funny. Anyways, they seem like a fun group.
Yeah, but I guess we'll see what ends up happening. It's a close race, though.
Yes, it is.
More than last year, I feel like.
Yes, it is. Speaking of close races, all one seeds in the Final Four.
Craziness.
Well, I guess there was a lot of brackets that predicted this, but it should be a really interesting Final Four. I got Florida, Auburn, Duke, Houston. Man, do you think this is good for college basketball, or is this a bad thing?
I mean, I could see it from two sides. One, it's going to be popcorn, these it games, right? Because these teams have been like the best all year, and you get to see them play each other, which is going to be pretty cool.
It's true.
So, I mean, when it comes to just enjoying basketball, I think you're going to love these games because these teams are all top notch.
Yeah.
But that being said, I'm a guy that always loves Cinderella stories in the tournament. I love the little guys.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a little bit of a down year to be able to see this, but there is some bonus to being able to see the best teams from the entire year in the Final Four.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it's like, I'm hoping that this is just like, this year's just an anomaly and not like the new norm. Because Because honestly, if it's just all going to be one seeds at the end of every year, I'd rather just have like a 4-8 team playoff. Like, there's really no point in doing a 68 team tournament if it's just going to end up like this every year, to be honest. But I do think it's fun to watch this year. These one seeds are really good.
Oh, yeah.
Those final four games were pretty crazy. But I don't know. I had Duke winning it all this year, so I'm still feeling pretty good about that pick. So,
as did I.
Yeah.
Feeling pretty confident.
They're pretty stacked.
I will say, I know we talked about the transfer portal and how, like, we think maybe the transfer portal has led to just good teams being good and the lower teams staying bad.
Yeah.
I think we'll have to keep our eye on that because transfer portal is still a relatively new thing. But I would still say, like, we haven't had one seeds in the Final Four since, like, 15 plus years, something like that. I don't think we're going to get this every year, even with the transfer portal. There's going to be some parity in college basketball every year.
Yeah.
I think this is just a unique year where these four teams have just shown that they can play.
They're that good. Yeah.
Yeah, they can play, and there's not a lot of other teams that can take them down.
Yeah.
So, I think we'll be fine from here to the future. I think we'll still see a lot of March Madness. We just had a weird year this year.
Yeah. It's been interesting, too. I think the NCAA really needs to get a handle on transfer portal NIL. There's just so many.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, there was a guy in the transfer portal. I wish I could remember his name. But he started at South Carolina, transferred to Ohio State, transferred back to South Carolina, and now this year he's transferring back to Ohio State.
Wow.
So he literally transferred four times to two schools. And then there's another guy that's transferring to his sixth school. Anyways, I just think it's all a mess. And then players making millions is just kind of insane to me. So,
yeah.
Definitely something that NCAA needs to get a handle on, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm honestly kind of down for the NIL. We get all these European guys coming in that maybe wouldn't have if there was no NIL.
It's true.
I feel like as a BYU fan, we're getting players that we wouldn't get before because BYU's got some NIL money.
That's true.
So I don't know all the details about how much money's being thrown around to these guys, but I assume it's a pretty good amount.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. The transfer portal thing, I think, is just getting a little bit too out of hand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that guy's transferring back and forth schools is a little weird. I think you might just get one time of a transfer, maybe some sort of fee to transfer.
Yeah.
Just make it a little bit less often. I don't know what that means.
You used to have a rule where you had to sit a year after transferring. That feels extreme to me, but it makes me wonder.
Yeah.
There's got to be something like that. Some kind of not punishment, but some kind of cost to it. You know?
Yeah, maybe if they're making NIL, maybe just make it like $100,000 fee.
That's true.
Or something like that. I don't know.
That's true.
But then you price out the little guys.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. They'll figure out something.
Yeah. Well, while we're talking about transfer portal, BYU is making kind of a splash already.
Moves. Yeah.
Yeah. We did lose Dallin Hall. I don't know if you saw that. He's hitting the transfer portal.
Yeah, I think he put like a goodbye post on social media.
It makes sense. So he's a senior. I think he's, in my opinion, Dallin Hall is a starting caliber Division I point guard, but he's not that at BYU. I think there's a good chance Yeager comes back at this point, in my opinion. But even if he doesn't, there's other guys fighting for that point guard position, and I don't think Dallin Hall is going to have that locked up. So he deserves to be somewhere. I'm happy for him. Kenan Catchings, Elijah Crawford also hit. Those aren't really surprises.
Yeah.
BYU did pick up a recruit already, though. Dominique Diamande, I think that's how you say it.
Sounds right.
Diamond, maybe.
6'7".
Yeah.
Guy.
He's very NBA. He's very much fits the Kevin Young style of NBA guys. He played for France's pro under 21 league, I guess. Averaged 16 points in that, which in European ball is pretty good.
Yeah.
I believe he was a 4 or 5 star when he committed to Washington last year, but then he sat out this whole year. I think he's used his red shirt. Or maybe it was injuries. I can't remember. But he should be exciting. I think he's going to be a good fit with the team.
I think that makes it all the more clear to me that Catchings might be gone.
I think so, yeah.
Because they play a similar position.
Yeah. He could also fill the... Hopefully he can be what we thought Kenny Catchings was going to be. Also, maybe he'll fill the Mowit Mag a little bit, that
role. Yeah, that would be good. But that would boost his draft stock a lot if he can really play D.
Absolutely. So, and then I think, you know, now that we have all these transfers, I think we have a couple of spots open. I know one of the Georgia guards came and visited Provo, but I think he already committed to UConn. But it's crazy to me that BYU's up in conversations with recruits who are committing to UConn and to Kentucky and mm-hmm. Duke, and it's pretty crazy.
So, yeah.
Kind of fun.
And then our Utah Hockey Club.
Yes.
I think their season kind of parallels the NBA.
Yeah.
So they're getting close to the end, too.
Yeah, 34-30-12.
Yeah, they got a couple wins this week.
Yeah. Ryan Smith, I don't know if you saw, he just announced they're trying to build a new hockey rink in every, I think it's county in Utah.
That's kind of crazy.
Ryan Smith said that he would donate $500,000 to any county that wanted to build it to help them build it.
Cool.
It's cool that we have an owner that like that to me, that's like a long game. Like, we need to build hockey up in Utah. Like, if we want to have a fan base here.
I know he wants to start like a junior hockey league, like Junior Jazz. I think that's part of it.
And that would help. Yeah. So I think that's pretty cool, honestly.
Have you ever played hockey in your life?
No, to be honest, skated? I'm not really an ice skater, to be honest.
Yeah, I can't even skate.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be a fun sport to be good at, but that's a tough one.
Yeah, no, I think you definitely have to start young, and maybe that's why none of us have really gotten into hockey.
Hockey injuries freak me out a little bit, too. Like, the whole, like, people catching the back of skates, and hockey players are tough, though. Maybe I need to get into hockey. I don't know.
Yeah. But, I mean, we got 6 games left of Utah Hockey Club.
That's right.
I am on the edge of my seat waiting for us to finally reveal the name. Hopefully that comes at the end of the season. I don't know if Ryan Smith has said anything about it, but...
Yeah, a rumor on the street I saw this week was that they have the trademarks for all 3 of the team names that we voted on, which isn't really an update because we already knew that those were the options, but hopefully it's coming soon.
It should be close.
But thank you for joining us in today's episode. We really appreciate you spending your time listening. Don't forget to check out our past episodes. We talked about some prospects in March Madness who are some of them still alive in the tournament, so you'll want to pay attention to that. Also, we've talked about some things with the Jazz future. You can find those on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. And we hope you have a great weekend. Peace.
Take care.